Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk to Jim Wright and David LaPlante from the 1st Cavalry Division Association, and we take a look at the Civilian Marksmanship Program with retired Major General Harry Seaman. And we also talk to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Seaman about the 133rd Airlift Wing's 90th Anniversary Air Expo. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During this time of year, our thoughts often turn to patriotic events such as Memorial Day, Flag Day, and the 4th of July. Many of our patriotic events came about as a result of citizen soldiers and airmen who stood up and defended their nation. Our National Guard is truly America's fighting force, standing ever ready and reliable to serve our nation at home or abroad. Our National Guard deploys its hometown military and civilian members every day, everywhere in the world, to protect our homeland, to recover from disasters, and to defend our freedoms. We do this often at a fraction of the cost of an active duty component. Simply put, the National Guard is a great value for America. The United States is at a critical juncture in its history. Although the threats to our nation at home and abroad have not diminished, the fiscal reality is that there are looming decreases in the Department of Defense budget on the horizon. In the resource-constrained future, the new operational National Guard is the most cost-effective element of an overall Department of Defense capability. The National Guard provides a value-added, dollar-for-dollar impact across the spectrum of DoD requirements. However, in order for the Guard to succeed in the future strategic environment, both at home and abroad, it will require us to serve in a continued and strengthened operational capacity. I would like to thank all those family members and employers who have sacrificed, along with our soldiers and airmen, to make the Minnesota National Guard a viable and valuable resource to the people of Minnesota and the citizens of the United States of America.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Jim Wright and David LaPlante join us. Jim is the treasurer, and David is the public relations officer for the Walter H. Westmond Northland Chapter of the 1st Cavalry Division Association. Jim and David, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Morning.
Thank you.
Jim, I understand that you are the treasurer of the 1st Cavalry Division Association, and you're also a Vietnam veteran.
Yes, that's correct. I served in Vietnam from 68 to 69 with the 1st Cavalry Division, and currently have been the one and only treasurer since 2002 when we formed the chapter.
And Jim, how did you get involved with the 1st Cavalry Division Association?
Just happened to see an ad in the local Anoka paper, and the individual, Walt Westman, was trying to form a chapter after being at a national convention. At the age of 92, he thought we needed a chapter in the state of Minnesota. Went there, and here I am today.
Apparently, he was pretty convincing.
They were, and of course, it was sort of like the military. You volunteer when you don't.
And David, you were also in the Army, and now the public relations officer, but you've been the president of the chapter as well.
Yes, I served for 3 years.
In the United States Army?
The Army also.
3 years as president, I see.
Yes, my time with the 1st Cav was in 1964 in Korea.
In Korea. And how long have you been involved in the 1st Cav Association?
Since the day, well, actually since 1990. And then we formed a chapter, of course, in 2002. And that's when I got started with the chapter.
Jim, can you tell us what the mission of the chapter is? Why did you form the chapter, and what do you do?
Well, the mission for the chapter was originally to bring veterans together with a common bond of the 1st Cavalry Division. Any member serving now or in the past with the 1st Cavalry Division is eligible for membership. There wasn't a chapter in Minnesota, and we felt we needed one. Our mission was just that camaraderie and to help veterans air their issues and problems with one another. We decided we needed to have a program to serve the community. Past president, Robert Hathaway, worked with the state and came upon the Military Family Assistance Program. And that's been our mission to support the community ever since.
All right. We're speaking with Jim Wright, the treasurer, and David LaPlante, the public relations officer of the Walter H. Westman Northland Chapter of the 1st Cavalry Division Association on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. David, how many members do you have in your chapter?
Currently, I believe we have 190, somewhere in that area.
Jim, that's pretty close.
That's real close, yeah.
Yeah. Two of our members are currently in the Middle East, serving with the Red Bull, of course.
So some of the members are a little bit younger.
Well, they're the ones we're trying to find right now here in Minnesota. There's so many of the Guard members and Reserve who've come back and had served with the 1st Cav in the Middle East, and it's pretty hard to get a hold of these guys to come in and join the chapter or join the association.
And Jim, I understand in 2005 your chapter adopted a fundraising program?
Correct. That's when we started the program to raise money for the family assistance centers. We made our first donation in November of 2005, which was $450 divided up amongst about 10 different centers at that time. Today we send out $1,560 to 13 different centers every month. That's divided up amongst them.
Every month you do this?
Every month we do that.
And so for the listeners that don't know, can you tell them what the Family Assistance Center is and what they do?
The Military Family Assistance Centers are located throughout the state to help families that are in financial need. They're there to get federal assistance, state assistance, et cetera, and help families in trouble. Although they don't have the access to immediate funds, we provide grocery cards. A lot of these families come in. They have nothing on the shelves to feed their family.
So for our listeners, we've talked about this in the program before. If a military family needs some kind of help, they go to the family readiness group. And if they need some more serious help, then they bring in one of these 10 or 13 family assistance center folks, and they come in with all kinds of tools, which we're going to talk about when we come back. And one of them is some of these gift cards that the 1st Cavalry Association supplies. So we'll continue our conversation with Jim Wright and David LaPlante of the 1st Cavalry Division Association after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're speaking with Jim Wright, Treasurer, and David LaPlante, Public Relations Officer for the Walter H. Westman Northland Chapter of the 1st Cavalry Division Association. Jim, we were talking about your fundraising program, but before we get back to that, I want to ask David, what does a public relations officer do for the 1st Cav Division Association?
Probably do radio shows like this start with. And I pretty much deal a lot with the various military recruiters around the metropolitan area. And I've got a lot of their support for our program. And that's a big asset in itself. I'm also trying to find, like I said previously, these young gentlemen that are out there now who have returned from the Middle East and get them involved with the association.
And Jim, we're talking about these gift cards that you give out and quite a few of them every month. How do you raise the money for this?
Well, all of the money is raised by the 1st Cav volunteers. The majority of the money we set up at, there's a number of gun and knife collector shows that are in the metropolitan area, which we have a table set up at the front entrance and basically talk to and strong-arm people to donate. When we first started the program in 2005, our first collection was $200, and now we've collected as much as 2,000 in one show for a weekend, just by people standing at the door explaining the program. Originally, people would come in and they say, I gave it the last show. We told them we spent it. Today, the people walk in the door. Most of them have their money out ready to put in the can.
And I suppose David's sitting there doing the strong arming.
David is one of our strong arm people. That's what public relations has to do.
Now we're figuring it out. And since 2005, how many gift cards and what's the total?
Well, to date, we've given out just over $62,000 to the fund, to the centers, through these gift cards. We started out real small at $450 up to the $1,560 a month. If a center needs more money because of an emergency need, we'll usually fund that also. So
these are prepaid gift cards from like where?
We buy, depending on where the center's located, they either get Cub Foods cards or they get Walmart cards to go to the super Walmarts in their area to buy groceries.
So for the listeners who don't know, the Family Assistance Centers are spread around the state. So you've gone out and found out which stores are near which centers, I would assume.
Correct. And they've let us know if there's been a change, you know, if a store is closing, which has happened in some cases, we switch over to one of the other cards.
And the Family Assistance Center, of course, provides a lot of resources for military families when they get in trouble. One of the things is the gift cards, and then, of course, they go to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation for some grant money for financial problems. And you guys are really doing a great job of keeping them supplied with these cards. Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you ever hear back from any of the recipients, Jim?
Yes, we do. Probably my favorite one is a thank you note that was made by the kids, written with crayons, stating, your generosity means the world to us. Thank you so much. On behalf of my family, I would like to thank the 1st Cavalry Division Association for the wonderful gift cards. And then it's signed by the family. And like I said, it was all made out of crayon.
Sure, it's handmade, and he's showing it to me. It's a beautiful card made by a family that was very happy to get that help. Have you got a couple more there?
Sure. I have one here. Big thanks from the family of, and it states the name. We received $150 worth of gift cards from you. We're having a really rough time financially, and you really helped us out. My husband says a big hello and thank you from Iraq. 2nd of the 131st Infantry Division, signed by the family.
Very nice. Now, Jim, for our listeners that might want to find out more information about the 1st Cav Division Association, where can they go?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.whw-northland1cda.org, which stands for Walter H. Westman, Northland Chapter, 1st Cavalry Division. Cool. Or you can mail contributions or ask questions by sending a letter to the 1st Cavalry Association at 12781 Abel Street Northeast, Blaine, Minnesota, 55434.
And how often do you meet?
We currently meet 4 times a year. We try to have 2 of those meetings in the outside of the metropolitan area, 1 north, 1 south. And then 2 of them in the Twin City area, and it's once a quarter.
And so you send out notices of the meetings?
Yes, we have all of our members get a newsletter either via email or mail. That's about an 8-page newsletter telling about things happening and bringing them up to date on the chapter.
Gentlemen, I tried to surprise you today because I asked the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers, Mike Farron, to come down, but he had some appointments, and he's working with the military families. But he sent a letter in that I'm going to give to you in a moment, and he'd like me to read it on the air. He said he'd like to first say that he's sorry he was not able to be in the studio today to personally thank you and your organization for all you do for our service members and their families. Can't even really begin to tell or explain how valuable your organization is to our program. It's because of partnerships like this that Minnesota continues to lead the way in taking care of our service members and their families. Thank you again for all your support. It's greatly appreciated. Mike Farron, supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers. That's pretty strong, and I talked to him on the phone, and he said, you guys are performing a really valuable service.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
We've just got a few seconds left, and Jim, can you tell our listeners again, you could read one more thank you, and then tell them one more time how to contact you, please.
All right. This one, the family has been recipients of your donated Walmart cards, and we can't find the words to express our thanks. A year has passed since the deployment, and the soldiers have peaked. Your thoughtfulness reminds us that we are not alone in this battle, and signed by the family.
Very nice. And where can they go to send contributions and contact you? And for David's sake, join if they're members of the First Cav, join your association.
Okay, you can send a letter or request to the First Cavalry Division Association at 12781 Abel Street Northeast, Blaine, Minnesota, 55434.
Terrific. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. That was Jim Wright and David LaPlante from the Walter H. Westman Northland Chapter of the 1st Cavalry Division Association. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how the Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camps are helping military kids. 5 years after her first camp, Christy remembered feeling ecstatic after conquering her biggest fear. Then 13 years old, Christy had never been brave enough to ride a bike. But only 2 days into the National Guard's teen camp, some influential counselors helped her overcome that fear. But that wasn't all. By the time Christy broke camp, she had learned a host of new skills like archery, how to navigate using a compass. She also spent time swimming, canoeing, hiking, and camping, all while meeting new lifelong friends. Best of all, after bonding with other military kids, she felt less different and more comfortable with her dad being in the Army. Now Christy is once again headed to the teen camp, only this time as a counselor. After all the positive experiences she's had, Christy looks forward to creating new ones with a host of first-time campers. Registration for this summer's youth and teen camps close on June 30th. For $150, most children that are related to active and retired National Guard members are eligible to attend. Thank you, Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camp counselors, volunteers, and organizers, for showcasing how remarkable individuals are going beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Minnesota National Guard Youth Camps, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at the Civilian Marksmanship Program with retired Major General Harry C.
Welcome back to
the
Minnesota
right
Military
Understock
Radio Hour.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm Tom Lyons.
This is the
it's
Minnesota
for the
Military Radio
Corner, Hour,
a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
If you are a veteran with a service-connected disability rating of 70% or higher, you may be eligible for a property tax exclusion on your home in Minnesota. The deadline is normally June 30th for application through the County Assessor's Office. However, this year, due to a delay with the summary of benefits letters, County Assessors have extended the filing deadline to September 1st for taxes payable in 2012. If you would like more information or think you may be eligible, contact your county veteran service officer by visiting MinnesotaVeteran.com or calling 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at MinnesotaVeteran.org. This week, retired Major General Harry Sieben joins us. He's here today to talk about the Civilian Marksmanship Program. General Sieben, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Good afternoon, Tom. Happy to be here. Thank you.
General, can you tell our listeners how many years were you in the Minnesota National Guard?
I was military 35 and a half years, and 29 of those years were in the Minnesota National Guard.
And you ended up a two-star major general.
I was very happy about that.
And retired recently.
Retired from the military, and it wasn't too recently. I've got all this gray hair now. It was 7 years ago, 7 and a half years ago. I'm not retired. I'm still working in my civilian job.
Which is as an attorney at Seaman Gross von Holtzman Gary downtown.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. You're also on the board of the Civilian Marksmanship Program. Can you tell us what that's about, sir?
Sure, I can. Thank you. The CMP, Civilian Marksmanship Program, has been around for over 100 years. It was started by Teddy Roosevelt when he was president. the intention was to teach people how to shoot, because they might end up having to shoot in the military. And the military in those days, the Spanish-American War, which President Roosevelt had experience with, and all the wars our country's been in after that, has had to, of course, take civilians off the farm or wherever else they come from and put them through intense training for 8 or 9 weeks plus, and teach them, among other things, how to shoot. And President Roosevelt set up a program. Part of it is called the National Matches, which are shooting games, shooting competition. It's been going on ever since, except for a few years during World War II when they were not conducted. But the program's been going on, and it's been successful. It does teach civilians gun safety and gun marksmanship, primarily rifles, but also pistols, not shotguns. It's an interesting program because it's basically self-funded. The CMP runs a lot of shooting programs, an emphasis on youth, but also for adults. Not only the national matches, which are at Camp Perry, Ohio, but around the country in Arizona and in North Carolina and a number of other places. It's affiliated with about 4,000 shooting clubs, many of them in Minnesota. And the way it gets funded is from the sale of surplus military weapons. Tom, you were in Vietnam, and you may not have seen M1s and M1 carbines. You're a young man.
M16s and M16s and 38 pistols.
And right. But in World War II and in the Korean War and in some parts of Vietnam, M1s were used, and M1 carbines. Those are the primary weapons that the CMP has to sell, that it gets its money from. The federal law requires the Department of Defense to turn over surplus 22 caliber and 30 caliber non-fully automatic weapons to the Civilian Marksmanship Program and turn them over free, and the CMP then can go on and sell them to the qualified members of the public. For an average of about $500. So when you get a product free and sell it for $500, there's a little profit margin in there, as you, from your business background, can imagine.
Yes, sir.
The money gets used, and it's millions of dollars a year, gets used to fund shooting sports programs. And I've been on the board for probably 11 years or 12, maybe 12, 13 years, I don't remember. It was the program was changed from the way it was created by President Roosevelt. It was changed by Congress in 1996 to sort of privatize it. The CMP is now a private corporation created by act of Congress. There's no shareholders. The board of directors, the original board of directors, was appointed by the then Secretary of the Army in 1996, Togo West. And it's been self-perpetuating since that time.
General, I've heard you tell me stories before. You've actually gone out and repatriated weapons that we left in depots all over the world?
Absolutely. The United States government, foreign aid programs, lend-lease programs, has given weapons to its allies around the world over the years, mostly since World War II, during World War II and since then. And the stipulation was that if those weapons are no longer needed, they would be given back to the United States Department of Defense. The United States Army is the executive agency for the program. And they go back to the Army and then to the CMP.
So if you belong to a shooting club and you're interested in an M1 or an M1 carbine, you can actually buy these weapons.
Absolutely. Yep. And an average of about $500, but some of them are real collector's items and they can be very expensive, low serial numbers and so on, some rare guns, but and they're fun. They're a piece of history.
And the website for the Civilian Marksmanship Program is www.odcmp.com. And I'd invite the listeners to go there and take a look. There's a lot of good information there. General, how does this program benefit children in Minnesota?
Well, there are shooting clubs in Minnesota that have kids in them, and they're eligible to buy training weapons, 22 caliber, and air rifles at a reduced rate, and get ammunition, 30 caliber and 22 caliber, at reduced rates, and participate in CMP-sanctioned events. So pretty interesting.
Can you also help with some of the gun safety training programs, those type of things?
Absolutely. There's plenty of plenty of that. And in, I can't say there's never been a safety violation that caused a bad circumstance, but it's very, very rare over the last, the years I've watched, the last dozen years, it's almost non-existent.
So it's a really interesting program, and once again, you can find out more information at odcmp.com. We'll continue our conversation with Major General Harry Sieben, and welcome to the show the Deputy Commander of the Mission Group for the 133rd Airlift Wing, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to retired Major General Harry Sieben and the Deputy Commander of the Mission Group, the 133rd Airlift Wing, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben. Let's turn the conversation to a fun event that's just around the corner, the 133rd Airlift Wing's 90th Anniversary Air Expo. Colonel Sieben, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
Well, the listeners are going to wonder, I've got a General Sieben and I've got a Lieutenant Colonel Sieben in here. What's going on?
It's a family affair.
It's a family thing. And can you tell us how you're related, sir?
You bet. My dad, James Sieben, and the general's dad, Harry Sr., were brothers.
And your dad, General Jim, was the adjutant general at one time.
He sure was, from 75 to 88, I believe.
And Colonel, you're here today to tell us about the Minnesota National Guard reaching a significant milestone.
Yes, sir, I am. We're having a 90th anniversary celebration on Saturday, the 16th of July, from 8 a.m. to 4 in the afternoon, and this special event is open to the public and free of charge, and it's being held at our St. Paul Air National Guard Base, which is located on the north side of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport out near historic Fort Snelling, and the entrance to the Air Expo is right at the Fort Snelling train station area that a lot of people are probably familiar with.
And it's a 90th anniversary, and that's significant for another reason, isn't it?
It sure is. Our unit was federally recognized as the first Air National Guard unit in 1921, so we are hosting this celebration to commemorate our heritage and that important feat.
I think I was there when they were first recognized. I'm not sure.
When you had hair.
When I had hair, yes, sir. Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about this this Air Expo event?
I sure can. As I said before, it's free and open to the public, and we're hoping really to get a great showing from the community to kind of thank the community for the support of the National Guard, the Air National Guard specifically, in our unit out by the International Airport. And we've got numerous aircraft that are going to be traveling in to visit, about 8 or 9 different current airframes from the Air Force and Air Guard and Air Force Reserve. And then we have a museum located at our base, and there's already 20 aircraft on permanent display, and so we'll have nearly 40 aircraft on the ground for people to see, current and vintage aircraft, and then we have 4 historic aircraft that are flying in for the occasion too. So it's going to be quite the event, and we'll have kids activities and food concessions and 2 special demonstration teams from the Department of Defense. First one is the Special Operations Command Parachute Team, which will jump in twice to our event, and then the Air Force Honor Guard Drill Team, which will perform some of their demonstrations.
What are the fly-in historical airplanes, Terry?
We have 3 aircraft that are coming in, and it's a P-51, a P-38, a P-40, and then a PT-13, which is a biplane that was a Tuskegee Airmen trainer type aircraft. And that one has a special background to it, too.
So the P-51 is the Mustang?
Yes, and our unit flew the Mustangs years ago, too, so that's near and dear to our hearts at the 133rd.
Well, Colonel, this event is Saturday, July 16th.
It sure is. It's an all-day event. From 8 in the morning, we're going to open our gates and then close at 4 in the afternoon.
It's free and open to the public, and you were telling me about some special arrangements you made for parking and transportation.
Yes, sir. The folks at the Metro Transit Commission have been very, very great to deal with. They have extended an offer to have a downloadable pass to ride a bus or train that day if you're coming to our event. So that'll be available shortly on their Metro Transit website and then our own website at the airbase.
And the special website, what's the address of that, sir?
It's www.133aw.ang.af.mil. And I should note the 133 is all numerical and not spelled out.
Now, if they just look up the 133rd Airlift Wing, will they find a link to that website?
Yes, sir. If they would Google it or something like that, they should be able to find our public website. And then once they're in our public website, we have a large banner on the left side of that is clearly noted as Air Expo. You click on that, and then there's photos of the aircraft that are coming. There's links to the demonstration teams that are coming. There's kind of the do's and don'ts and the prohibited items, things like that that are kind of currently being uploaded and adjusted as we have the latest info.
Colonel, the Minnesota National Guard, Air National Guard, is an organization with ties to both the federal government and the state of Minnesota. How does the 133rd Airlift Wing balance those missions, and how do you relate to the public with this Air Expo?
I think that's a great question, and with our peacetime mission, when we report to the state governor, we help out on floods, different storm damage, different things like that. And then on the federal side, we also do answer to the president if we're federally mobilized, and we go do that mission, whether it's in the desert or associated areas.
And have you done an Air Expo before at the 133rd, sir?
We have not, and I guess we've done a smaller scale with our museum being on our base. They, about 20, 25 years ago, they were working to commemorate a 75th anniversary type of event like this, and it was much smaller. But this is the first time we've really ventured this far into it and invited a lot of current airframes and the historical airframes and the food concession piece and the kids' zone activities. And so it's really our first attempt at this, and we're really hoping it's going to be a great, great event for the public.
Colonel, we just got about a minute left, but you told me in conjunction with this Air Expo that you've got a kickoff event for your new museum?
Yes, sir. We have a historical foundation and museum on our base, and they are trying to get the funds to move off of our property and set up an Air and Space Center. So we're partnering with them somewhat, and they have an event on Thursday evening and some other activities on Thursday, and their museum website has a lot of that information on it, and you can get linked to that from our webpage. And we're also doing an event with the Twins on Friday night before our event on the 15th, where the drill and ceremonies team will be there, and we'll have a C-130 flyover of that Twins game.
Colonel, we're just about out of time, but one more time, how easy is it to get to the event, and what can the public do to prepare for this wonderful experience?
I think the best way to probably get to our installation, which is on the north side of the airport, is to use the light rail system. You use the public transportation. That would be the best. We've got agreements to be able to park at the federal building across the street and the light rail lots, and even at the VA center up the road if necessary. But I think the light rail system would be the best place to be able to jump on and to be dropped off right at our front gate there and walk right in.
Well, the 133rd Airlift Wing 90th Anniversary Air Expo is Saturday, July 16th. And if you Google 133rd Airlift Wing, you should be able to find information on it.
Yes, sir. And if the weather turns real sour, we're going to push it to Sunday, but we're really hoping that Saturday it all happens, sir.
Gentlemen, General Sieben and Colonel Sieben, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Major General Harry Sieben and the Deputy Commander of the Mission Group for the 133rd Airlift Wing, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jim Wright and David LaPlante from the 1st Cavalry Division Association, retired Major General Harry Sieben with the Civilian Marksmanship Program, the Deputy Commander of the Mission Group for the 133rd Airlift Wing, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, and finally, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Camp Ripley with the Post Commander, Colonel Scott St. Sauver, and the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, training and upcoming deployment with Colonel Eric Kurska. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.